beautiful. That's exactly as I suspected. It's wonderful. I'm going to give one more question here, and then I'm going to go even more esoteric. But someone wanted to know, can you tell us about the Great Attractor? What is its nature?
The Great Attractor is a huge accumulation of galaxies that is so massive that it actually changes the, I would say, distort space, time, and gravity around it and attracts the neighboring galaxies towards it. It's a very strong pull of energy towards that space. And the Great Attractor has sent a signal in that quadrant of the universe for the final victory of the light. And this has triggered mass rearrangement of energy currents in our galaxy, in Andromeda Galaxy, and the neighboring galaxies. And this has resulted in some changes which are now bringing the motherships into the solar system. And it will further result in removal of the cobalt in the near future.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Reinforced by Dr. Fred Bell's communication with some people from the Andromeda Galaxy, as well as Valiant Thor and Dr. Frank Strange's had revealed to what he called his inner circle group, of which I was a proud member, that Valiant Thor had gone to the edge of this galaxy to meet with some people from the Andromeda Galaxy to further the plans of liberation. I want to ask the Great Attractor, so everything's being drawn towards it. It seems as though, is this in a slow-mo, or all the galaxies going to converge into one point of this Great Attractor? Can you?
No. So what happens? It's just a current of energy that brings us closer to a certain degree.
Okay, very good. One last question here on these material things, and we're going to get a little more esoteric for our advanced listeners here. Is there anything scheduled by the life forces that must happen by the end of the current Uranus-Pluto series of seven squares? We're not referring to the event. We just want to know if there's any particular operations that must happen by the end of this cycle that will conclude in March of 2015, if you can reveal that.
I would say there are many operations taking place, and they are not timed by the Uranus-Pluto square. The Uranus-Pluto square just triggers certain parts of those operations and reveals certain aspects of those operations, but the operations themselves are not determined by the timing of the Uranus-Pluto square.
Okay, thank you. And I did listen with joy to your Sean David Morton interview. He's not too familiar with your work, I know personally. He had his partner, Steve Travesty, who is in contact with me quite a bit, who really loves your stuff, and we share information. He asked, set up most of the questions there. But they were talking about the Giza pyramid and the remote viewing by Courtney Brown, and you answered a couple things there. Yes, there were slaves occasionally used in building different pyramids, and of course, there were different ET groups contacting Egypt at that time. But I wanted to be clear, if you could, can you tell us specifically the Great Pyramid of Giza? In my mind, slaves were not used making this particular pyramid, was it?
Slaves were used later in the dynastic times of Egypt when the small pyramids were built. The bigger pyramids were built with advanced technology, and there was no major slave work involved. But later, after many millennia has passed, all this knowledge was forgotten, and just a small group of priests remained that had a little dim, distant memory of the glorious past, and they wanted to recreate it in a smaller scale. And that was the time when the slaves were used.
Yes. So, to be clear, when these extraterrestrials who made the larger pyramids with the higher technology, the human population joyfully joined in to create these giant edifices, which were to be used as free energy devices and temples of wisdom, reflecting the secrets and the mysteries of the universe and the ascension process. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, those pyramids were built for the purpose of initiation, so people could go into the chamber and experience direct experience of light. And they were also used as coded memory banks with full of information for the future generations.
Yes. I also wanted to go into, you talked a bit about time travel on Sean David Morton's show. Well, thank you for answering that about pyramids. For those of you who know me, I'm a pyramid devotee, and that's actually one of the things that led me into my spiritual path with Fred Bell, was my intense desire and interest to know about pyramids and this great edifice and altar to the Lord, as Isaiah 19 in the Bible. But time travel has also been interesting to me because working with the Pleiadian information from Fred, that their spaceships actually open up portals, and Dr. Frank Strange's had told me that when he would travel to Venus one time from the surface and one time from the center, and he said both times the ship would raise up, he said he would see literally a little spiral portal like a stargate would open up, and the next thing you knew, you were the portal was opening right in front of the planet. So there seems to be this time travel going on, and you said it was hard to go into the past, but Andrew Bisaggio, in his time travel stuff, though he clearly indicates that things haven't changed in the past, they don't change the big events, but it seems they were traveling in the past to observe, not to change things. It gets into a mind-boggling situation.
Yeah, I can explain this. It's not actual time travel, it's a time simulation, where you can recreate the past out of the Akashic records. And you can have a third-dimensional virtual reality experience of being present in the past events.
Okay, so he seems to have indicated that he actually interacted with people there.
If you interact with people, you change the timeline.
Yeah, well, he said that he went multiple times, for instance, to the time of Abraham Lincoln's assassination. He said each time he went, certain things would change, but the primary elements of the experience were the same. It's a little different, but I'm kind of curious, when we get these timelines that this neo-Nazi fascist, the Rumsfelds and George Bush seniors definitely seem to be very involved, according to him, into these timeline changes. In fact, they definitely have had a plan going on and trying to influence things of this nature. Is all of this being monitored by the higher galactic forces? They won't allow these guys in any of these advanced exotic technologies. Any shifts that they're making are being limited. Is that correct?
The Cabal cannot influence timeline. It's not possible. We're past December 21st, 2012.
Okay, so all of that information from before was based on that. So is all of this technology and jump room technology ended at this point in time?
It is ended for the surface cabal, yes. They cannot use that technology.
Okay, very good. And what about the, I guess I call them the Archons or some of the more advanced ETs? Do they still have any bases on Mars, or are they all compressed here now?
I would say that this is classified information at this point.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so very much. You know, we've talked in the past about the Atlantean and the Inner Circle and the fact that it was reported by Shirula, who went by the name of Bonnie. Some friends of mine were present, and her story is, Cobra, if you don't know, I'll give it to you real quick, and then you can comment. But her mother was a Earth person, and she married the head leader of the Telos.
Yes, I'm aware of that story, yes.
Okay, and she had transgressed some Telosian rule, and she had to be banned to the surface. And what happened was, is she was shown the Agarthan tunnels of the Earth. She was taken up in various locations to the surface of the Earth. And at various points in time, she is allowed to go into the inner tunnels, but not into the higher vibrational fields of Telos or the inner Earth. And the people that I know who physically met her told me that her skin was very similar to one of the Pleiadians that I met. He said she had very kind of oriental eyelids. She looked very unique physically. But one of the things they mentioned was that her skin was like marble. And the one ET guy that I met that Fred called James, I could see through his skin almost. I could see the blood veins a little deeper through his skin. It almost looked like marble. And I have to say the blood veins look blue. I don't know if that's where they get the blue blood from, but I guess the question is, with these higher vibrational worlds that exist within the inner Earth. How is that integration going to take place? They're on a completely different frequency. Isn't that correct from us on the surface?
To a certain degree, yes. And of course, this interaction will be gradual. First, all of the most advanced individuals will out in certain areas, and then certain direction will happen, which will open more of that interaction to be possible.
Okay, I want to go to the core of the Earth and the spiritual light and presence that sustains this Earth in the center. Could you talk about Sunat Kumara and his mission and how that relates to the Atlantean inner circle, the Ascended Masters, and humanity?
Sunat Kumara is an overseer of the whole evolution on this planet for the last, I would say, 8 million years. He is not present in a physical body because his consciousness is evolved far beyond that. But his energy is present here as a silent watcher, and he watches the whole progress and occasionally sends a ray of energy into this planetary sphere to accelerate evolution and to balance things and to harmonize things. And people who have reached their own ascension throughout their cycle of Earth incarnation are actually receiving direct or indirect energy transmissions from him to assist in the planetary liberation process.
That's wonderful news. Fred Bell always had a picture of Sunat Kumara and a candle that burned in front of his picture in his house, and it burned for the 35 years that I knew Fred. The candle never was extinguished. It was always transferred from candle to candle. That's quite a discipline. But is there any way that the people on the surface, the light workers, can connect to these kind of overseeing a divine presence that's overshadowing the planet and trying to help it liberate itself?
Yes, of course, people can connect with the Ascended Masters. Some people can even reach and contact Sunat Kumara indirectly through energy transmissions. And I would like to add here that many people have misconceptions about the Ascended Masters, which were disseminated in the past by the Archons. One of those misconceptions is that there is a certain kind of rigid hierarchy between the Ascended Masters, which is not true. The Ascended Masters are organic beings of light which transmit energies in full alignment with the divine plan, which is dynamic and alive. And they have no need to control humanity. They have no need to pass any kind of agenda. They're only here to assist in the liberation of humanity because they themselves went through the process of liberation, and they would like to share the same process with the rest of humanity. And they are not masters in a sense of being above us. They are like our brothers and sisters who share the same essence with us. The only difference is that they are beyond the programming of the Matrix.
Well, thank God someone is here. That's a great news. And thank you. That was wonderful information. Fred Bell told me some things, and I'm kind of interested if how this relates or if my memory is correct and what you understand. There used to be a city where the Gobi Desert now exists, and the fact that it is a desert is a result of some sort of explosion or a maybe Atlantean wars where a city once existed called Shambhala that has now been exploded and is a desert. But he maintains there is another city that exists above the desert in the etheric plane, which he calls, Shambhala the Lesser. Is that correct?
Okay, first, yes, there was a city on the physical plane in the Gobi Desert, and yes, it was destroyed in the nuclear war a long time in the past. And there is actually a city below the surface of the Earth, and there was an etheric city, but this etheric city has been destroyed during the Archon invasion in 96.
Wow. So the Archon invasion actually was successful in certain areas. Wow, that's a very interesting piece of information there.
Yes, the Archon invasion would not be so successful. We would have liberated the planet because the only way the Cabal could hold on so long was because they have taken over the energy grid on the etheric plane.
Yeah, well, that's where the work of the people in your focus and attention on love and light and service and looking out into the reality, folks, and realize that this we are mind-projected embodiments of love of the one source. And this physical world, in a sense, is a divine play, an illusion. And if we see and realize God in everything and reflect that divinity, the sooner it can happen. If we are reflecting the distorted fields of the fallen false hierarchies and energies influencing us, we sustain and perpetuate the matrix. So we have individual responsibility to focus our intent and our thoughts on love and liberation. I'm going to wrap this up here in a little bit. I wanted to ask a couple more questions. If you could talk about the Atlantean inner circles that I believe they have certain points upon the earth, perhaps beneath the Giza complex in Luxor, a strong focal of light, and within the Himalayas, there are various groups. Are these groups physical? Would these Atlantean beings interact with Telosians, or are there different hierarchies within the Agartha network?
Okay, step by step. First, there are physical groups of Atlanteans below the surface, and some of those people, they are in the same body for 25,000 years. And the main group is in the Himalayas, and there are many other groups in other areas below the surface. And they are in communication with the Agartha network and with the resistance movement. They are cooperating together quite effectively on the planetary liberation.
And one of the great things to come forward in the future will, of course, be the revelations after it's safe, after the event. Evidence of your interaction with the resistance movement will be given. But, of course, many other ancient mysteries and artifacts and truths of the history of this planet will be brought forward. And eventually, humanity, we will begin to actually interact with these beings. Will they be lowering their vibrational energies to come with us, or will we be raising up on the surface to be able to perceive and interact with them, or both?
Both. They will not actually lower their vibrational frequency, but they will adjust their energy field so human beings can interact with them. And of course, those interactions will be very brief and partial at the beginning, with the most advanced part of human population. And then after some time, this will expand as human population begins to awaken and understand the situation more. So it will be a gradual process that will expand exponentially.
Wow, this is just fantastic. I don't want to wear us out today. We've had some little technical difficulties, folks. This is going to be edited by a friend of ours. And we're also going to have this transcribed by a wonderful woman who's offered to do that. So we're going to have a transcription and a great thing, a great show recorded here. Barbara, I'd like to offer you this opportunity again to mention your website, any products you have, or any information on upcoming events that you may want to share with people. And, of course, a final message of hope and positivity and something that we can look forward to in the future.
I would say that there is quite a significant progress being made regarding Chimera Group in the last week or so. There was a big progress with this Palladian portal activation, so things are looking much better than they were a month ago. So this is good news. I would like to invite everybody to follow my blog. Just Google Cobra Portal 2012. There will be new events coming in June and July, and most likely in Ibiza, Spain, in July in Taiwan and Thailand. And of course, people who would like to taste new Palladian technologies can go to tachyonis.org, tachyonis.org. Just check it out. I would also like to invite everybody to participate in weekly liberation meditations. We need to get larger numbers each weekend, each Sunday, to assist and to accelerate the process. So thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you again, Cobra. I have one last final question. A lot of people were very excited, especially on Prepare for Change and the Cobra groups, and they were very excited I was going to do this interview. I was wondering if we have a great result on the modulation, if you might consider doing a monthly show with us here on Prepare for Change, the Victory of Light, again, possibly.
Yes, most likely this will happen. We will just see how this all works out. I will pause this interview, and most likely we can make that arrangement. We will see the next few days.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much, Cobra, and Victory to the Light. And thank you all for listening. I want to thank JP for recording. And I also need to thank Martin Horst, who had offered to do this recording. and JP had come up with a double channel and was able to relieve Martin Horst. He had a music event at this time, so I really appreciate that JP was here. I want to thank you, JP, and of course, Ricky in the future and our transcriber, Lori, for transcribing this. And I want to thank you all for listening, and victory to the light. Remember, prepare for change.net, the promise revealed in the COBRA portal 2012. Thank you folks very much. And we hope you enjoy this interview, and feel free to peruse these websites. We all work tirelessly, and we appreciate your interest in our products and our services. Victory to the light. Thank you all very much, and bless you all.
Okay, thank you, everybody, and victory to the light.
All right. Wow, COBRA, thank you so much. Thank you.